Welcome back to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and I'm speaking with Mark Paul, co-author of the book California Crack-Up, How Reform Broke the Golden State and How It Can Be Fixed. Mark Paul is a senior scholar and deputy director of the California Program at the New America Foundation. He was formerly national editor and editorial page editor of the Oakland Tribune and deputy editorial page editor and columnist at the Sacramento Bee. In 2004, Mr. Paul was appointed deputy treasurer of the state of California. He served as policy director for the treasurer's office and executive secretary of the state's Pooled Money Investment Board, which manages the cash reserves of state and local governments. He also oversaw the operations of the state financing authority for health and pollution control facilities. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mark Paul.
It's good to be here, Ian.
And the governor's already met with a number of state and local officials on Tuesday morning. And after the meeting, he said that Proposition 13 took away the power of counties to tax. For the most part, it sent the decisions up to Sacramento, so we want to redistribute all of that. Can he undo Prop 13 through this empowering these local government officials?
Well, he can't do it directly, and neither can the legislature. It would the big lift of changing a lot of the Proposition 13 rules would require the voters to get involved as well. But he has certainly identified one of the really key problems in California that is contributing to the budget crisis, this centralization of authority in Sacramento, and with and the separation of taxing and spending responsibility at the local government level, which has encouraged in local governments irresponsibility, because it's very easy to spend when you're not responsible for actually having to raise the money that you want to spend.
Of course, ironically, after Prop 13 passed, Jerry Brown, in his first term, signed a measure to protect schools from the loss of property taxes, making them dependent on the state for funding, and therein lies a long, sorry tale, right?
Well, exactly. And it was not just schools, but it was other local governments. One of the most important things about Proposition 13, which is, which people don't think about, because when they hear the word term Prop 13, they think about the limits on property tax. But included in that measure was, in addition to capping and limiting property taxes, it then said, gave the responsibility to the legislature to take the remaining property tax dollars and decide how they should be distributed among cities, school districts, counties, special districts, etc. And so Prop 13 quite explicitly moved that decision to Sacramento, and the state not only made the decision about how the remaining money should be divvied up, but it also started backfilling some of the lost tax revenue from the Proposition 13 property tax cuts. And so we've created a situation right now in California, which, for instance, among the states, California has very high levels of local government spending, but it also has among the lowest levels of local government taxes. And the difference has been made up over the last 30 years out of state tax revenues and out of and from programs that the state would otherwise be supporting, like the university systems. And so this is at the heart of California's budgeting dysfunction, is this system in which the money is spent fairly freely locally, but the local officials are not themselves responsible for actually having to raise those dollars. So what Brown is moving us toward is at least a discussion about whether or not we ought to restore taxing and spending authority in one place in local governments and make communities responsible for making their own decisions.
Again, I'm speaking with Mark Pohl, Deputy Director of the California Program at the New America Foundation and co-author of California Crack Up, How Reform Broke the Golden State and How It Can Be Fixed. And given the title of your book, obviously the questions are whether there's any fiscal sanity being restored from the recent election, either in the form of the new governor or in the form of the some of the propositions, many of which appear to be contradictory. Now, so far, Governor has called for a 7% cut in the size of his staff, which is hardly going to do anything to the $28.5 billion deficit. But he doesn't have he hasn't appointed a chief of staff. His wife is special counsel with $0 for a salary. And then there's this other fellow that people seem to think is significant, James Humes, though he's not being hired as a chief of staff. So, and other people, Mary Nichols and Bill Honig have also been hired. So what? How's he going to run? I mean, does that mean that his wife's going to run be his right hand?
Well, I think everybody agrees that she's one of his most influential advisors. But Brown didn't have a chief of staff when he was governor previously. He called the sort of the central role executive secretary. Gray Davis had that job for part of the time, and actually it was shared. So Jim Hume and Nancy McFadden have both sort of named executive secretary. I think they're going to share that. It sounds like they're going to share that responsibility. But the chief of staff is something that came after Jerry, and I think he's more comfortable. It sounds like he's more comfortable with the arrangement he had when he was governor before.
Well, when he was governor before that, he was so busy running for president.
Well, some of the time, yeah.
Some of the time that Gray Davis did an awful lot of the work.
Right.
So then let's turn to that, to whether or not there is any way to bring some fiscal sanity here, given that the title of your book is California Crack Up, How Reform Broke the Golden State. We all know that story. But the how it can be fixed part of your title of your book is a big question. Are you optimistic in any way?
Well, the only thing that makes me optimistic is that, in going around the state and talking about these issues, I think that lots of Californians understand that we have broken our system of government fundamentally, and in the election it was pretty clear that nobody was investing much hope in either of the two gubernatorial candidates that would make a fundamental difference. But I think that a discussion has started in the state over these things, I think that it's a good sign that the governor is willing to confront this whole issue of the centralization of power in Sacramento. I mean, that is one of the pieces of what we need to change. But I think that we will see. You've already seen in the reaction to his, in the first 2 days, the reaction among some of the vested groups, including local governments. I mean, local government officials are not, I think, going to easily give up this ride that they've had.
The free ride, where they get the money without the responsibility of making tough choices.
Exactly. I mean, it's not something that they're going to want to give up, and they have politically been relatively successful because the term local government evokes very warm and fuzzy thoughts in people. Frequently around the state, it's like you're talking about puppies. But in fact, if you look across California, most of the areas that I would identify as the least justifiable spending that goes on in the state and the inefficiency that goes on is at the local government levels, whether you're talking about the salaries of executives in local government, which are far higher than anything in state government, or the pay and pensions of public safety workers in local governments, or this great multiplicity of duplicated governments we have. In California, we have more than 7,000 elected governments in the state, you know, if you count all the cities and counties and local government. If we were to govern ourselves well and efficiently and be able to deal with our problems, there needs to be a lot of rethinking about and consolidation of those governments. And the fiscal crisis, in fact, I think we're seeing a little of that starting to happen just because of the economic realities of local government in these days. We've seen cities giving up their a couple of towns like Maywood in the south and a town in the Bay Area have given up their own police forces, for instance, because they can't afford them anymore.
Again, I'm speaking with Mark Paul, who served as Deputy Treasurer of the State of California. As you know, Mark, in the 112th Congress is shaping up to be a major battle over the, as you know, the main political economic battle going on now is stimulus versus deficits, and the deficit hawks seem to have their way. A big part of the stimulus that President Obama managed to get through gave a lot of the states money, including California, to pay teachers and firemen, largely because of the revenue collapse resulting from the meltdown on Wall Street. However, that has been translated by Republicans into the states have spent too much money. I don't know whether you saw the 60 Minutes piece with Governor Christie implying that that Illinois and California have been profligate, no mention of the revenue collapse. A lot of people, including myself, think that this is a campaign on the part of the ideologues in the Republican Party just coming into power to essentially break the public employee unions and to engage in a kind of class warfare where they divide the working class between those in the private sector who've lost their jobs and pensions and health care with those in the public sector who have pensions and health care. And that's, to me, a very unpleasant thing to look forward to. Do you think I'm correct in seeing this?
Well, certainly, I think you're correct that the Congress, particularly the House, is no longer, at least in the short term, going to be in the mood to help the states get through their continuing budget crises. Revenues have collapsed all across the country. Because of the collapse of the housing bubble, the states that are dependent on things like sales tax and property tax have seen their collections go down. And in fact, a lot of states are, you know, in measured in proportional terms, in even worse shape than California is. Our neighbors Arizona and Nevada, I think, are both in that case. In that situation, there doesn't seem at this point to be any sympathy to help the states through these things. So I think in California we're going to be on our own in working our way through these budget problems this year, and it's very difficult. I mean, this is a reckoning both with how deep the recession was and with how badly in California we have broken our system. These things are unfortunately coming together, you know, at the same time, and it's really a very difficult and unpleasant situation for everybody. I think, and that's why I know for people who might have seen Jerry Brown taking the oath of office, when he was asked, you know, during the oath whether he was accepting the obligation with no mental reservation, the audience laughed before he even had a chance to speak.
Sure.
Because I think everybody understands, you know, how difficult his task is.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us on Background Briefing today, Mark Paul.
Well, thank you for having me, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Mark Paul, co-author of the book California Crack Up, How Reform Broke the Golden State and How It Can Be Fixed. He's a senior scholar and deputy director of the California Program at the New America Foundation, has been an editor at the Oakland Tribune and the Sacramento Bee, and served as deputy treasurer of the State of California. This has been Background Briefing. You may learn more about the program, listen to our archives, and contact me at ianmasters.com. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing and engineer Ray Palliez. And I'll be back on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. with another edition of Background Briefing. Until then, have a very pleasant couple of days, and bye.
Lady dressed in white with a man she loves.